But there's things that hit you throughout the week. You ever have that where you'll be studying something, or you'll go like Thursday night, something will just click or a light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, okay. And it just could be random things. So I guess for me, I have to write this in yellow. But I guess the title would be I am what I am. Some of you may get that, some of you may not. In my early years, I remember watching a cartoon. And the cartoon was Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man. Yep. He had one bad eye and he had a pipe. In 1994, Robin Williams, I don't know if you remember this, Robin Williams played Popeye. And there was a song in there. He's, I am what I am, and I know what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. And it was a funny movie, and Robin Williams was a funny man at times. But does that happen with anybody else? Do you ever... just random things. You could be at work, you could be driving your car, and just something goes off. And you're like, oh my goodness, I can use that as an example, as a parallel. I always try to be practical. My wife would say I'm a pessimist, but I say I'm a realist. And I use things that try to apply, and I try to be real about things. So that's how I study the Bible, and that's how it kind of clicks for me. I could be going on my daily routine and something would happen and it'll, you know, refresh my memory to a Bible verse. So that's what I am what I am. And this happened Thursday night at the Bible study. And using this parallel, what did Popeye eat? Spinach. Oh, that made him strong and he was refreshed. And so I think back then, moms like that because it would encourage their kids to eat spinach, eat vegetables. Being from both sides of my family are from West Virginia, I had no problem eating spinach. That was like a daily, maybe not daily, but that was a pretty normal thing to have spinach. And what I found actually that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the first Popeye. And I don't know if he ate spinach, but it kind of clicked. I'm like, oh my goodness, Paul was actually Popeye back in 5 A.D. And maybe not 5, maybe he was in his 30s or 40s, but I think he was the first Popeye. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? Okay. Well, let me see if I can fill in the blanks here. So Popeye, the Sailor Man, the cartoon, he came around, actually, he was created in 1919. Of course, Paul, he was born close to 5 AD. Popeye, the Sailor Man, he was invented or thought of by Elsie Chrysler Sager. And he first appeared in comics in 1929 and then in 94 when Robin Williams played him. So how do we relate Popeye the Sailor Man and Paul? So I want you to just bear with me. I'm going to try to explain what I'm talking about. I got to find the verse. Okay. So Ephesians 2. Let's start here. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Just like Popeye was refreshed or revived when he ate his spinach, let's talk about how we first were revived and refreshed in our lives. So in Ephesians 2, It says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Just like we have been given salvation through Christ, through faith in his finished work, death, burial, and resurrection, that should essentially give us strength to start our walk, our work, rather. This week, as I was moaning and groaning, and I'm sure Sarah can attest to this, being miserable in my cold, I started to think of Paul and what he went through, and just the life that he lived. He grew up in the city, but yet he sailed. Obviously, he was shipwrecked 3 times. He was stoned. He was beaten. And I started to think about the things that he had to go through, and the tiny amounts of just little colds and sickness that we feel like we have to bear on a daily basis. And I tried to relate to how easy I have it, how easy we have it compared to others who have went before us. And just what a miserable job I do sometimes in realizing how well off I am, and how easy it should be for me to share the gospel with others. I always want to give myself excuses as to why I don't do this or do that. And I think as Christians, we should look for excuses to do those things, to go out of our way to share the gospel, to go out of our way to be a better example of Christ. So how do we renew ourselves? For me, rather than taking DayQuil to get over my sniffles, how do we renew our spiritual lives? How do we strengthen ourselves in Christ through his word? So let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So how do we gain boldness? A lot of times, Sarah and I talk about a lot of different things. And there's times where she may want to share the gospel with someone. She may want to share the things that she has learned about dispensational teaching. And she said to me, I want to say this, and I want to say it as much as in me, as much as I have learned. We can do this, and we can share these things with just what you have, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should be able to do it in boldness. So how do we do that? How do we gain the boldness to share? How do you guys gain the boldness to share in your school with your peers? Let's turn to Romans 1. 15 and 16. Romans 1:15. So as much as is as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Touche. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have got to be able to preach boldness of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. We have to start thinking more like ambassadors. Steve always talks about this. You are an ambassador here on earth. Your home is heavenly places. We need to start thinking that way. And little by little, as we gain that understanding, as we start living that way, it becomes a lot easier to talk to people and to help them understand that, listen, obviously we're not going to be around forever. But it's easier when you start studying. So, some of you may know, the NFL has what's called a combine. You ever heard of the combine? Paul's heard of it. The combine is a set of drills or physical tests. So all these potential players go through this NFL combine. They run routes. They see how fast they are. They run a certain distance, and the scouts will test them. They will clock them. They will see, okay, they can run this route. He has good hands for catching. He's quick. He can move through these obstacles with agility and everything like that. I think life has given us a combine. I think this is somewhat it's not humorous, but it can be in our life to where, as we go through this life, we can use these tests as our combine. And what I'm talking about is, for example, Paul, he had somewhat of a combine in his life, being shipwrecked, stoned, whipped. 2 Corinthians 11:25 will give us an idea of what he went through. Okay, in verse 24, 2 Corinthians 11:24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was whipped 39 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Okay, so five times he had 39 stripes. Three times beaten with rods. Once stoned. Three times shipwrecked. And a night and a day have I been in the deep. He was floating in water. In verse 26, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And here's the kicker. Verse 29. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of all the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed and evermore knoweth that I lie not. We think we have it bad off. I look at those verses and I think, my goodness, what do we complain about? What do I have to complain about? I have a cold on Wednesday. It's my worst day this week. I can take medicine and I don't have to worry about it. We complain about things and then we cower when we have the opportunity to speak to somebody about Christ and salvation. In Ephesians 3:13 says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. A lot of times when you come to the understanding of dispensationalism, or you start gaining a little bit of understanding, and you start gaining the knowledge that comes with that, there's somewhat of a cycle that happens. You go through denial, you go through anger, you kind of go through sadness, and then you kind of go through acceptance. And when we start the journey of the dispensation of the grace of God, we have to be able to just accept it and not let the knowledge puff up. As it says, we can't let knowledge puff up. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God can help you gain the understanding that you need to be able to say what you need to say, as much as in you is. When you need to share the scripture, when you need to share the gospel with other people, with other employees, with other peers in your life, do it with boldness. I don't have a whole lot other than that. I just wanted to encourage each one of us today, including myself. There's a lot of times we go through our lives and we think that we have it bad off. We can complain. I complain more than I should, with a little sniffle. And I started to read these verses this week and thinking about Paul and the things that he went through. And I got to find the verse now because I don't know why I didn't write it down. First Corinthians 15:10. By God's grace, you can do this. 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me." Paul, which also said he was less than the least of the saints. By God's grace, he was able to do all these things, endure all those perils, and we should too. Like Ted was saying, it's easy to get bogged down with the daily routine, the weekly routine, the monthly routine, and you think about try to think more about being an ambassador. And when you start that, and you start thinking about the fact that we are supposed to be ministering not only to each other as saints, but also to see souls edified, see souls saved and the saints edified. So it's easy to have a one-track mind when you get into ministry. But we can't neglect the fact that we still have to be ambassadors for Christ. We can get in a bubble and a clique. And I think Christians and churches tend to get in these little bubbles. And they get used to only talking with each other. And, excuse me. And so we have to remember there's two parts to that. It's not just studying and edifying the saints, but it's also trying to reach those souls that are lost. And we have to keep that in our mind too. Keep both of those in front of us. As I was thinking about Paul, you know, he grew up in the city. What I would call him a city boy. He was raised in Rome. He was taught in the synagogues. Again, trying to relate that to my life and today's terms, I would call that street cred. So, and he also traveled a lot on the sea, so that's where I come up with I am what I am. He was a sailor man, been shipwrecked. And I don't know if you guys know, you're not Navy, are you?
Oh, no.
No, you're Air Force?
Air Force.
Air Force. All the Navy guys I ever met weren't afraid to get up in your face. You know, they were Marines too, but yeah. Navy guys, all they have to do is box down on the ship. So that's, you know, they're not afraid to fight you. They're not afraid to get in your face. And so I try to think about how Paul was. Obviously, when he got in the city, he had street cred because he was around the city. He was around Rome. People knew who he was. But he also wasn't afraid to get in your face. So I imagine he was somewhat of a force to be reckoned with when you were around him. And even himself thought he was less than the least of saints, but by the grace of God, he was able to withstand even other apostles like Peter and Barnabas. And, yeah. So let's not be afraid to challenge people, challenge other saints, challenge people who aren't saved on a day-to-day basis. Yep, that's the boldness of Christ that we have through His grace. Once we start thinking as ambassadors for Christ, it kind of helps in that. I had the opportunity to share with a lady this week, and it the more you do it, the more you're encouraged to do it, and the more you're willing to do it, and it becomes easier and easier as you go. So take that first step. Don't be afraid to do it. As much as in you is, share the gospel. When Tim and I were in youth group, there was, I don't know if you remember this, but there was one time where there was almost like a challenge that the youth group got together, and I don't remember who it was or who asked the question, but somebody said, prove to me there's even right and wrong. Prove to me creation. And there were, you would have to say, somebody would play the devil's advocate and say, I don't believe you. Why should I believe what you're saying? Why should I? And you would have to logically think and explain yourself as 15, 16, 17, whatever year old young adult you were. And it was a good challenge for those who would face a different angle, opposition. And I remember that specific night. I remember being in that youth group, and I couldn't tell you where we were at, but I remember that night because it made you think, if somebody doesn't believe what you're saying, how do you logically explain yourself? And when we start thinking that way and giving our testimony, giving our reasons without calling names, without being angry at somebody for not believing what we think, it helps you gain a better understanding of how to deal with people on a daily basis. And that's the other thing I wanted to say. We have to remember to stay focused, and even in society these days, if somebody has an opposition to our thought or our belief or our faith, automatically it's a name-calling game. Well, you dumb, why, you know, you're just a whatever. And instead of having like a civilized conversation, we don't have that anymore in society. It's, we can't converse, we can't communicate with each other, and I think that goes into Christianity too, where we can't just have a normal civilized conversation without getting into name calling and challenge somebody else. Be bold in what you're saying. But to do that, you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to know what you're talking about. But as much as in you is, don't be afraid to share. Okay, that's all I have.